move forward. The bailiff was out of his chair and at his side in a flash. Moody saw him, gave a sick grin, and let his body go slack. The tears flowed down his cheeks. Durkin pulled out a handkerchief, gave it to him, and raised an objection concerning the judge's encroachment upon his client's privacy. "You're free to appeal, Mr. Durkin," she said evenly.
"Judge."
It was Moody talking now, the bass voice dry and strained. "What is it, Mr. Moody?"
"You don't understand."
He wrung his hands.
"Those kids, they're my life."
For a moment, I thought she was going to tongue-lash him. Instead, she regarded him with compassion. "I do understand, sir. I understand that you love your children, that your life is in shambles. But what you need to understand, the whole point of the psychiatric testimony, is that children can't be responsible for anyone's life. That's too big a burden for any child to bear. They can't raise you, Mr. Moody. You need to be able to raise them. And right now you can't. You need help." Moody started to say something, but choked it back. He shook his head in defeat, gave the handkerchief back to Durkin, and tried to salvage a few shards of dignity. The next quarter